If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pennywise Podcast, the best pod around for personal finance. We're part of the Lee Enterprises Podcast Network and brought to you in partnership with WalletHub, the best personal finance app in the whole wide world. You can sign up for WalletHub to save money, improve your credit, and budget better. I'm your host, John Kiernan. I'm the managing editor at WalletHub, and I've been covering personal finance for more than 15 years. My goal is to help you manage your money better and hopefully have a little fun in the process. As always, be sure to let us know if you have any questions or if there's something you want us to cover. We'll actually get to a listener question at the end, so make sure to stick around for that. But first, our main topic for today is how to get the right credit card. A lot of you probably have credit cards already, but are you really entirely comfortable with the whole card selection application process? Do you have one of the best cards you can qualify for? For a lot of people, even some of my smartest and most capable friends, the answer is often no. Plus, a lot of folks have been previously too intimidated to even try to get a credit card. Not having a credit card is problematic, in case you're wondering, because using a credit card responsibly is actually the best way to build credit. You don't even have to take on debt like you would with a loan, and you'll get positive information added to all three of your major credit reports on a monthly basis. You don't even need to make purchases to build credit with a credit card. Simply having an open credit card account that's in good standing is enough to build credit. Credit cards also have great fraud protection. They make everyday purchases more convenient and more rewarding. To take things a step further, not having the right credit card is an issue because it could cost you hundreds of dollars per year. Still, it's not easy to find the right credit card, get approved for it, and then use it flawlessly. I mean, WalletHub tracks more than 1,500 credit card offers, so there are a ton of options, and a lot of people have made mistakes with credit cards in the past that kind of taint their current approach. For example, just to kind of set the scene a little bit, consider these stats for some recent WalletHub research. People have around 5 credit card accounts on average. 33% of people plan to apply for a new credit card to help with holiday shopping this year. And the average household already has more than $11,000 in credit card debt. So people have a lot of experience with credit cards, and many have multiple and are not always using them correctly. And on that note, around 43% of people say they're still paying off credit card debt from last year. But as I mentioned, there's a lot of upside too. The best credit cards can save the average cardholder more than $1,000 per year, and the worst cards can actually cost you money. So there's a big differential there. And so to help you navigate the process of getting a credit card with confidence, I'd like to welcome our guest, Dr. Jessica Zeiss. Dr. Zeiss is an associate marketing professor at Ball State University, and she's well-versed in credit card marketing both professionally and from personal experience. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Zeiss.
Hi, thank you.
So do you prefer to be called Dr. Zeiss or Jessica, just to get that out of the way?
Jessica will make much more sense.
Okay, she's a casual doctor, ladies and gentlemen. So to start, can you tell the listeners a bit about your background and your work at Ball State, plus maybe a little bit about Ball State itself? Everyone might not be familiar. I know personally I'm mainly familiar with it from college sports and things like that. But can give us a little bit of a background, if you will.
Yes, thank you for asking about that. It is a really unique and remarkable school. It's a large, balanced school. And that means we're large enough, we can recruit scientists from all over the world to do their work, solve their problems on our campus for our students. And yet we began as a teacher school, and we're very dedicated, very engaged teachers live in the classroom. And so that's a really special thing about Ball State. We're in the Midwest. We're about an hour north of Indianapolis. And we're actually began largely from some very generous donations from the Ball Canning Jar brand. Do you
Okay.
remember Ball Canning Jars?
I
Maybe
yes, I
not.
do. No, I think I do now because my mom actually does a lot of canning. Are they still around, or is that another company? Yes, okay.
Nope,
And
you can picture that. So
okay,
that
yes.
family actually donated quite a bit of property, land, funds, and that's how we got our start.
Interesting.
And we actually were the first in the world, the first university to create a large geothermal system on campus that replaced coal. And it actually has saved millions of dollars and it cut our geothermal by 50%.
Wow.
Most people don't know that about Ball State. We're truly the leaders in geothermal savings. And then I'm really proud that we're one of the first selling centers, meaning we have a really unique program that gets students ready for consultation careers, marketing careers, careers in selling. And I started in marketing and I teach marketing classes. And actually, I have an expertise in research that tries to understand how you can sell to your own sales team.
Okay. Very interesting. So it's kind of for the managers of the world, I guess. You want to get, yeah, okay, get your staff on the right page and selling the right things. That is very, very interesting. And aside from your professional pursuits, I'm sure you've applied for a few credit cards personally. Can you give us a kind of a quick sense of what those experiences have been like? 'Cause I'm sure a lot of people kind of will resonate and feel like they've been in the same shoes.
And John, I think the word experience is the perfect word. And I think you'll know what I mean by me elaborating because there are some really important events in life that if a marketer can be associated with that event in your memory, we almost think of ourselves as needing to be loyal to that brand. So, you asked me like what experiences do I have? And that's the word I'd use. Because I can really still remember that first credit card application. It was an experience. I can remember my mom and I fighting about whether or not I was allowed to apply for the credit card or not, because I had actually been given a credit card application that was sent directly to me at my parents' house. These marketers definitely knew how big of a life event your first credit card is. And a very savvy marketer knows that. If that goes well, I might really think of myself as loyal to that credit card and that credit card brand. So I think the word experience is so perfect because I can still remember it. I said, I am absolutely going to apply for this credit card. And my mother said, you will absolutely not. She knew I did not have the experience or understanding of what my budget would be, what a budget should be, what happens when I exceed that budget. And so I did not apply for the credit card that first time, but I'll never forget it because I knew it was a big deal. My mother was so upset about it, and she was right. It would have been something I could not have handled then.
Exactly. You kind of really need to be in the right situation. And it's interesting that that was such a kind of a landmark thing for you. I don't know, maybe it kind of symbolized freedom or something like that. But
Exactly.
yeah, and with a lot of kids I know, kind of years ago, maybe when I was in college, it was a lot less thoughtful of a situation for getting your first credit card. A lot of people would get kind of conned into applying in exchange for a free t-shirt when they were drunk at a football game or something. The laws have improved to prevent those kinds of things. But I agree. I think a lot of credit card companies may have been kind of in it for the short-term gain, whereas the really kind of smart strategic ones are in it for the long haul. So just kind of piggybacking on your experience and kind of what I was mentioning about other students kind of maybe rushing into the experience, you're in a position that's unique for a lot of our listeners in that you interact with a lot of young people who are going through a lot of things for the first time, including maybe thinking about getting a credit card for the first time. Do you have any sense of whether credit cards are on their radar and whether they're kind of approaching the task with the right motives?
I do have a sense I coach these students at academic competitions where we show off our pitch skill. And when we travel, I do get a sense for how they use money and where they get their money from. And I actually have noticed that they rely really largely on digital e-wallets, digital ways of paying. Now, I was curious about the same, so I did look into some of the research that professors are working on this topic, and I read a little bit of it. And what I did see in those findings are that these current students, these generations that I interact with a lot, they are actually relying much more on debt. They're relying on digital wallets, e-wallets. It doesn't mean that they're not using credit cards, but they're relying more on debit systems, debit cards. I get the sense that these e-wallets really are access to maybe family funds. But the research, like I said, when I did skim through it today, it looks like they are relying less and less on credit cards and more on debit systems. And it does look like there is some aversion to credit, and the way the professors are describing it in this research, and this research is really current, is aversion to credit cards, fear of not being able to manage it. So it is interesting. I do get the sense that they are relying less on credit cards. It seems like that is what some of the research is saying. But of course, the group that is relying on credit cards may not be experienced enough to be able to do that at that young age.
Definitely, that's a good point. And I think there's a lot to be said of that aversion theory, given that a lot of people are kind of coming of adult into adulthood now. We're kind of growing up during the Great Recession and through years where we've had a ton of credit card debt, and people have been struggling, kind of going paycheck to paycheck. And so if you see your parents going through that, you're naturally not going to want to kind of dive in with 2 feet into the same pool. But again, I think it's important for people, young people, to realize that using a credit card doesn't mean abusing a credit card. You don't have to go into a lot of debt, rack up a bunch of interest charges. You can actually kind of flip the script and use a credit card to your advantage and pay the bill in full every month, no interest, and earn rewards and save money that way, and also build credit. So maybe it's not on kind of young people's radar. They're just kind of like a whatever's most convenient at the moment. But I think those who are really kind of looking forward to their financial future the most should kind of start learning about credit cards at least. And on that note, if I know you're kind of approach things more from the marketing perspective and the sales perspective, but if you were to dedicate one class out of the semester to teaching your students how to get a credit card, given its importance and kind of how it could, it's especially if you're a consultant or you're traveling or something, it's very important to have. So how would you go about that? Just kind of the basics of teaching students how to get a credit card.
Thank you for asking me that question. And you're smart to have not asked me it first because I would have spent way too much time answering this question. This is the kind of question that gets me excited. And, John, what I'm picturing actually is instead of being forced to carry a pretend baby around for a month, I wonder if these credit cards should create a little dummy card for these students to have to use in class. Let me back up. I have thought about this. I have an idea. And I was working backwards. I was thinking, well, what is the skill? What is the desired skill? And it would be critical thinking skill, but for managing products, that are financial products with a marketing campaign. So I thought, well, how would I get students to develop that skill? And I thought, it is not teaching them what to look for. It's just teaching them to look. So I would definitely start off with a scavenger hunt in a class where they had to find all the hidden distractions in these marketing campaigns for credit cards, like in ads and in applications. And what I would be teaching them to do in that scavenger hunt is to understand the cost of capital. What is the cost of doing business with this card? But before that, and I think you've already totally honed in on this, I think they would have to be collecting stories about actual credit card experiences from real credit card holders, maybe from family and friends in their community that have similar lifestyles, similar spending habits. But also, I'd probably have them collect stories from those with different spending habits from maybe other universities. Then I think I would have the selling students who are great at Ballstate pitch to these students a credit card campaign to see if the students could detect what the distractions are, right?
Interesting.
Like if they're under pressure, could they see in a persuasive moment what the hidden features are? And then you know what I would do in the end? I think I would have them speed date these credit cards and see if they could really get past the honeymoon phase. And you know, one of the biggest distractions are the rewards programs, and they need to understand that they got to look for that as well as the APR and right that they just need to look.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people see a credit card advertised on TV with a celebrity they like, or they search on Google for the best card and they get one kind of recommendation. They just go without really kind of thinking through it. And what a lot of people don't realize is a lot of the credit card websites you'll come across, excluding WalletHub, a lot of the other ones will only show cards from their partners, or only show a very, very low number of cards, only compare them, so it's inevitable that their partner cards are recommended. WalletHub's a little bit different, and then we kind of try to recommend the cards that are going to save consumers the most money, and we compare more than 1500 credit cards, so that kind of goes into kind of the hidden kind of tricks that the industry uses, and kind of consumers being able to decipher those and figure out what's really best for their needs. And you also mentioned the rewards programs being a distraction. That's definitely true in a sense. Like, they try to kind of throw a ton at you to kind of distract you and say, "Oh, this looks like so much value, oh, such great perks," but you really have to put it into your practical experience. So, like, apply that rewards program essentially to your spending habits to see how much you're going to save with it, and then do the same with other cards and essentially subtract annual fees and see which one's going to save you the most money. So there, I guess, different approaches to it, but it all comes down to figuring out kind of what's real and what's not, and what's going to affect you and what won't.
Totally. The cost of capital, right?
Exactly. So I guess we've touched on this a little bit, but it kind of goes also to how you would kind of teach that class about how to get a credit card. What would you say are the biggest mistakes or misconceptions people should watch out for when they're shopping for a credit card?
Again, definitely understanding that the marketing campaign could be a distraction. But I would say also, and this will seem so obvious, but there are probably different card programs for your spending needs. Not all that dissimilar from thinking about what car insurance makes sense for you. Do you drive for work? Do you drive long distance? Right? What kind of car do you drive? Same thing for the credit card programs. There are a variety of programs, and some of those are going to suit your needs better. Are you going to carry a month-to-month balance, or are you going to pay off that balance every month? And so just little things like that would make a different card application better for you. So I would say like a biggest tip is just understanding what your lifestyle habit is. And of course, that's where we began. You know, the problem with the younger credit card applicant is they might not have spent a lot of time thinking about what their spending habits are and their lifestyle is. But that is the place to start, is knowing how you're going to treat the card and then finding the card that makes sense for you. And then, of course, just making sure that you know the credit card is a for-profit model. You know, their business model is to make profit. And so it's important to know what kind of profit they're going to make off of you. Is it because you're going to carry a balance over to the next month? But just being cognizant that their goal is to make profit off of you. And you have to understand their business model, right? Not the color of the card or what sport they're associated with or what philanthropic events they care about. They might really care about a philanthropic topic that you care about, but they also might still take your money.
Great point. I think kind of piggybacking on that, these credit card companies are basically, they are out for your money, but they're also playing kind of a numbers game. And so they don't have to, if it's a kind of an adversarial thing, let's say, like they don't have to beat every single individual. They just have to beat enough of them. So you could be the one that kind of beats them essentially by kind of making sure you recognize where the potential costs are and taking steps to not incur them. Like you said, picking the right card for a particular situation is a great idea. It's something that we call the island approach. So we basically say, like, figure out your base, your biggest kind of transactional needs, and then identify one credit card for each of them that is perfectly suited to that. Because you're not going to find one card that's great for everything. So maybe you get one card that has the best rewards on gas and groceries, and another card that with a big initial bonus. And maybe you, at some point, want to do a balance transfer. You get a card for that. We're not recommending to go crazy and get a million cards right out of the boat, but it can be helpful to maximize your savings that way. And of course, this is something that people do more. It's more of an advanced technique when you have good or excellent credit. If when you're just starting out, having one card is plenty. And in that case, you're generally just trying to minimize costs. So I think those are great pointers that you mentioned for people to keep in mind. And I don't want to keep you too long, but one other thing I was wondering about, given your marketing and sales background, is are there any kind of telltale signs of quality, either good or bad, that people should watch out for when they're consuming credit card marketing?
A good creditor wants you to know what your graduation, what your exit plan is. They want it to be as clear as possible on the front of a mailer, how easily and quickly you're likely to pay off your balance and not incur unnecessary fees or interest. And based on different payment options and different timing. And what I mean by that is they want you to be successful in paying them back, and a really good creditor makes that really clear how, and usually in very colorful display. So I think that's the best way is thinking, did they make it really simple for me to figure out how to pay this off and what will happen if I don't? And in a couple of ways.
Gotcha. And I think customer service is a big one for a lot of people when dealing with banks and credit card companies. Are there any kind of signs to watch out for there? Is it just based on how kind of prominent they make customer service options on their website or more than that?
That's a really good point. I hadn't really even considered that much. And it's interesting to even think about. I wonder if younger consumers, the ones that I'm interacting with in classrooms, think about customer service at all. That's interesting. And I'm not sure,
Yeah,
but
maybe they're
I would
not
say,
used to it, based on all their social media. Those companies don't really have any customer service.
So just on that point, I would think making it extremely easy with several different modalities of how to get in touch with someone in customer service, a chat system, I think that would make sense for them.
Gotcha. Very good. Thank you very much there. And I think that's about all I have. For now, it was really great talking to you today. And I think everyone will get a lot out of your responses, and they'll maybe even make a trip down to Ball State to attend one of your classes. Who knows?
They are welcome. And as we say at Ball State, chirp, chirp.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much. And it's been a lot of fun.
Has been so much fun. This is such a different thing that I get to do in a day that's going to involve a lot of grading. So this has been really inspirational and fun, and I hope that you have me back.
All right. With our main topic covered, you know what time it is now. It's Q&A time, when we read a question or two from Pennywise listeners and try to provide a helpful answer. Today, we have a question from Rachel in Nevada. Rachel asked, "Does it make sense to get a travel rewards card if I don't travel very often?" That's a great question, Rachel. Thanks for sending it in, and it's something that people often ask about. The quick answer is no. A lot of people are drawn to the travel rewards cards because they often offer flashy initial bonuses that can get you free flights, hotel reservations, etc. That sounds pretty good, but if you don't travel often, you won't really have a chance to redeem those rewards. And if you redeem them for something like cash, you might be sacrificing a lot of value in the process. Sometimes you get half as much value for cash compared to redeeming for travel. That said, if you're planning at least one big trip in the next year or so, a travel credit card could be worthwhile, but especially for the initial bonuses. But you don't want to make it your everyday credit card long term unless you travel at least several times per year, so because you want the opportunity to actually use those rewards and enjoy the fruits of your labor. If you're not going to be traveling multiple times per year, you're better off with a cashback credit card and just kind of saving a little bit with every purchase. So I hope that answers your question. If you're interested in, if you're in the market for a cashback credit card, you can go to WalletHub and compare offers there. It's really easy to find the best one for you. And on that note, I think that's about it for today. It's been a lot of fun learning a little bit more about money with all of you. And I really hope we can do it again pretty soon, because if you're not penny wise, you might not see your credit score or rewards balance rise. So thanks again to Leaner Enterprises and WalletHub for helping put this all together. And thanks to you for listening.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Taxes was feeling unwelcome. Now Taxes is an open door, literally, to new TurboTax stores. Meet our experts in person.
Hi, welcome in.
They're powered by smart tech and ready to do your taxes for you. Get real-time updates while you go about your day, confident your taxes are done right. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. TurboTax stores opening soon. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.